right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Teachers Talking Tech. This is Eric, and I am here with...
Mike Brown.
Oh, yeah.
And Marie Larson.
Yay. And we have not had enough Zoom meetings lately. We just decided that we would do one more.
Right. We need one more meeting.
We could record.
This is the most techiest of all the podcasts we've ever had.
I agree. I mean, this is being recorded over Zoom, of course. And you know what? I have a little bit of Zoom fatigue, and I bet you I am not the only one. How are you guys feeling about Zoom after using it for 3 straight weeks?
Oh, same. I mean, I feel like, especially last week, I was very, very tired and my eyes were tired. I had that eye fatigue. I just ordered a pair of those glasses that block the blue light. I don't know if it's going to help me or not, but I'm
really? I've never even heard of those.
Oh, whew. I'm also
the blue blockers.
So
I'm also just like struggling to figure out where to Zoom. I do most of my Zooming from the floor. What about you two?
Yeah, Zoom. I mean, it's been nice to be able to see people and whatever, but mm-hmm. I agree. This has shed a light on what could be an email and not a meeting for sure.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, this room, I had a thought. I forgot that I actually had a Zoom account 2 years ago, right? And I was trying to remember why I signed up for Zoom, because I didn't really even understand what it was 2 years ago when I signed up for it. But you know what I used it for was in my classroom, I had flex seating and my kids were all like spread around the room. And I just used it as a way to share my screen. So they had their like iPads in front of them. Mm-hmm. And then I could share my screen like a whiteboard, and they could, no matter whether they're facing the front or not, they could see what I was doing and follow along from their screen.
I remember you doing that, but I didn't know you were using Zoom. And now it's like, go Zoom.
That's the thing. I didn't even remember it was Zoom either, but I tried it and it worked pretty well. And then I kind of abandoned it at some point. And now here we are like Zoom whole hogging it, man, for everything.
I'm liking how like the lingo has like a, you know, Zoom is like a verb now.
It is.
Right?
It is. Well, when I Zoom, I like to stand up. I hate sitting down when I'm doing, I don't know why, but I have a setup in my bedroom where I kind of have like a tall dresser and I set everything on top of that so I can stand up during it. You know, it's also
That's
so I don't have to wear pants.
For you.
Don't tell anybody, yeah. But you know. I just
That's
sit around
other
in my
word.
Pajamas or underwear.
That's the other word, though, that I learned. I've learned lots of new lingo from this time in our lives. The other word is upperwear, and the upperwear is what you wear nice on top, but the bottom can be no pants or, you know, pajamas. But your upperwear is nice.
So it's kind of like a mullet, but it's your clothes.
Yeah. It's formal on the top, lazy on the bottom. I don't know.
There you go.
There, you can use that in your everyday life now.
I totally will. Well, we had two listener questions that I thought we'd go over today. And they're both, of course, having to do with distance learning. And I am just amazed at how flexible teachers have been just switching and pivoting right
to. It just goes to show you, right, how professional teachers really are. It was like, hey, tomorrow you're going to start doing something that's completely different that you've never been taught how to do. You didn't go to college to do. And by the way, we expect you to kind of do it a good job at it. And they just did. Teachers are just doing it. You know, and there's faults and there's struggles and, you know, things don't always go perfect. But the bottom line is teachers are teaching, and it's whether parents and students are participating is this the other thing. But teachers are teaching just like they were 6 weeks ago.
Well, it certainly shined a light on inequities, right? Like who has internet, who doesn't, who mm-hmm. have support at home, who does not have support at home, all those things that could be a hindrance when kids were in our classroom are really highlighted with distance learning. But yeah, I mean, those are mostly out of our control. But I do feel like from what I've seen, teachers just immediately, not only are they learning new platforms and learning, you know, all that technology that goes with it, but then they actually have to make lessons that engage kids mm-hmm. all along with that. It's, you know, that's a lot. That's a lot.
Yeah.
And scrambling to find the materials to share in the appropriate way. Like none of the materials we had lend themselves to this. At least we we had never learned how to use them in this way. And so that's, it's like, we're finding pictures, and we're finding images, and we're finding blah, blah, blah. And we're working through all of this stuff.
Yeah.
Right. And I think also just like our team, I've been so proud of our second grade team, just like how well we're working together and how much work we're accomplishing. And it's been cool.
Yeah, and for listeners that don't know, all three of us do teach second grade together, and we have six teachers on our team, and we have really worked well together when planning, when sharing things out with kids, sharing the workload, picking up the slack if we have teachers in our grade level who might not have the best access to internet. So that has been an absolute lifesaver. So hopefully you all out there have that kind of structure set up where you have some support too. Well, we have two listener questions that came to us, and so I just thought these would be good talking points, is just, you know, things to talk about with distance learning. So the first one is from Diane, and it is, what tech are you guys using for distance learning? So who wants to talk about that?
Well, I think so. When the everything went down, like we talked about, I think in our last little episode that we talked about, when everything went down, we found out on the Thursday night that Friday would be our last day, and it was already a half day because we had PD in the afternoon. So we did not send our tech home right away. And then I think that the district decided, or they figured out that we're not coming back anytime soon, and now we found out we're not coming back at all. So they had to get the tech out. So most of our students are using the iPads they had in their classroom. Now, not every student picked up their iPads, so they might be using different kind of tech, whatever tech they have access to at home. But I'd say the bulk of our tech is iPads.
Yeah, yeah, and I would say, you know, the platform that we're using most would be Seesaw. Seesaw has lended itself beautifully to this transition.
Yeah, and it was nice that the kids were already familiar with it. I think that some of the struggle that folks are having is that, number one, they might not have school devices at home. So they have kids using phones, laptops, you name it, to try to connect. And that can be hard when you're trying to not only figure out a device and how it works, but also then using that device to, use for distance learning. That's a lot for kids to handle all at once as well. Yeah. I think that Seesaw lends itself really well. And it's crazy because, you know, Seesaw was never meant to be a distance learning platform. Yeah. And, you know, from what I've noticed, like on the Facebook group, there's like almost 60,000 people in the Seesaw Teachers Facebook group. And a lot of the things that are coming up are new users. And they're like, hey, how come you can't take attendance with this? Hey, how come you can't, you know, do live chats with kids and all that? And it's, you wish that they could have started using the platform in school, but that they could kind of see like, it's not really set up for that. It works well for distance learning, but it wasn't created with that as the sole purpose. I feel like that Seesaw has been great for us because the kids already know it, number one. But number two, when we create activities, we can easily just share with each other. So what we've been doing is we've been using like clips or just video or just whatever we like to use to create, what would you say? Mostly they're like 3 to 5 minute lessons.
Right. Just like little activity, like 3 reading, 3 math, 3 writing activities per week.
Yeah. And then we upload the video and make a Seesaw activity, and then we share it with one another so that we all can post them to our classes. So our classes, out of these 9 activities we do each week, they hear from all the teachers within the grade, which has been so nice. Because
I think that's been really cool.
Dive in. Yeah. Go ahead, Mike.
I was just gonna say, I think it's been really cool that the kids get 6 teachers instead of 1. I know we heard from a few parents that maybe they liked their child preferred having just their teacher, but I think the majority of them have enjoyed having all 6 of us provide different lessons for them. And, you know, to be honest with you, it lends itself to some of our strengths because we've got a couple teachers that are really good with writing. And so when they do the writing lessons, I'll be the first one to admit my writing lessons when I do in my classroom aren't that great. Like, I kind of struggle with some of the verbiage and whatever, but these teachers are really good with it. So my kids are getting really, really quality instruction from somebody that's an expert at it.
Yeah, it does let everybody really push their strengths. And I would say too, because I'm not planning out and doing 9 videos a week, there's more right. quality to the ones that I'm doing. I take more time with them. I really think them through rather than just trying to push stuff out to my kids as quick as I can and getting them done, which I think a lot of teachers are having to do right now. And I also know there's a lot of teachers out there right now who are being required to do all their teaching via Zoom, which I can't even imagine.
I can't either.
They're basically doing what we're doing right now, 8 to 3 with students.
Well, and like a lot of things in education, that when, you know, there's research that says like you should not try to recreate the child's day through distance learning. But I think that like a lot of things that gets ignored by the powers that be, and they say, hey, you know what? We need, if you want your hours to count toward the state's, you know, hours or whatever, they say it needs to be done like this. So I know there are teachers that are required to do like 3 to 4 hours of Zoom a day with their kids.
Which is so tough. But I think
they probably really need those blue blockers.
Right, Those blue blockers. I know. Yeah. Plus they're cute, you guys. The ones I ordered are very cute.
We'll have to wear them next time.
I know, next time I'll wear them. I think it just shows how resilient teachers are. I mean, I think there's so many things going on behind the scenes that in education right now that, you know, maybe people aren't aware of. There's a lot. And teachers are awesome.
We are. We are. Pats on backs. Well, I think, too, that we talked about in our last episode that the social emotional stuff, it cannot be swept under the rug. I think that we all were so careful as teachers and administrators and lawmakers and everybody to really say, hey, this is going to be tough on everyone, and we need to make sure we're thinking about our mental well-being. Where I think the longer this goes on, I think some of that is going to be ignored, just unintentionally. I think once you get into it, these expectations go up, and it's like, hey, now you got to teach new content. Hey, now you got to push this. Now you got to do that, and IEP goals and all this stuff. I just am concerned in general, not with our district, but just in general with teachers and kids, that they're not going to be getting that emotional support and time that they need to deal with all this.
Right. Well, but I think too, isn't that something that happens when we are in the classroom as well? Yeah. Like, I think that's a battle we're always fighting no matter what we are doing or where we are. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No,
and I think the difficult thing of with all this is that we're so focused on teaching. Like, we're doing our job. This is what we went to school for. This is what we love. This is what's in our hearts. But at the same time, we have to remember, and I know we do, and I know all teachers do, but we have to remember our families are in crisis.
Yeah.
Like, for a lot of our families, school is so much lower on the list of important things right now that we're like, oh, we're getting these, and you know, our participation is down, and but we got to remember that these families, they got sick family members, they're both mom and dad are working because they're essential, and the kids at home by themselves or with an older brother or sister, they don't have technology or internet. There's so many pieces of this that put families in crisis that it's really tough to think. It's just really hard. I don't know.
I think that empathy, it can be harder to be empathetic when you don't see people face to face, right? When you don't see their emotions on their face, when you don't hear their stories from their mouths, it could be very hard. You know, if you take an example of maybe a family or a student that you haven't heard from at all, right? And your first reaction would be to think of it like they didn't drop their kids off at school. You're like, why wouldn't you drop your kids off at school? You know, that's crazy. You need to make sure your kids are getting an education. So when the kids might not be participating, that might be that first instinct of you as a teacher is to say like, you know, what is going on here? But then if you really you know, use that empathy to think, wow, they have some stuff going on. How can I help? I really need to make sure that I'm thinking of their family rather than teaching first or learning first.
Are you guys just okay? Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, here's the second question we're going to look at today. And this question, I honestly don't remember who asked it. It was on our YouTube channel. But anyway, it was talking about using Zoom or Google Hangouts, and have we used them with our kids, and how did it go, and are there any tips or tricks that we have for them when using any of these platforms with our kids or video. So Marie, did you do a Zoom with your kids yet?
Yes. So this was our first week doing a Zoom. It went so well. I honestly got very emotional when all those little faces popped up on the screen. It's probably the highlight of my week. So this was our first time doing it. And, I've been on Zoom for, like you said, weeks and weeks now, but I wasn't sure how it would go with, over 20 little people, but it went really well. I think the thing that I did that was helpful, I started off mine with a read aloud, which was nice. But I think what I did that was kind of, I used my laptop, but I plugged my iPad in and I projected my iPad screen so I could swipe through a book from Epic, but still see other faces. And I practiced that beforehand, but it went really well.
Oh, great pro tip.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. So what Marie was saying here, just to recap. So if you want to do a read aloud with your kids, it can be kind of tough over, the video camera. So she shared her screen using Zoom, and then you could do this on an iPad or any other device. Mm-hmm. If you have Epic, you pull the book right up on your screen and you're screen sharing it with your kids, just easier for them to see and to read. I love that. I'm going to totally steal that.
Yeah. And what was cool is, like I said, I've shared my screen before, from whatever device I'm on, but with my iPad plugged in, you can choose to share, your laptop screen or the device that's plugged in. So I just learned that this week.
Nice. How about you, Mike?
Yeah, we had our Zoom this week and it went really well. The kids were, I think everybody's worried about that first time. They're going to be insane. The kids are just going to be screaming and yelling and whatever. But it wasn't like that at all. They were all, in fact, a lot of them were shy. Even some of my kids that are pretty talkative in class, they didn't even like share or want to say anything. They were just like kind of lurking there in their little picture. But I thought it went really well. One of the things I did was I kept them muted at first so I could kind of teach them a little bit about how to use the platform because they had never used Zoom before, most likely. I mean, maybe they're using it with their families and stuff, but they had never used it in this like school setting, I guess you'd call it. And then at the very end, what I liked it was I unmuted it and I said, okay, go for it. Say hi to your friends, ask whoever questions, and just kind of gave them that free time to talk for about 2 or 3 minutes, which I think was really good too because it felt normal.
I think so too. And I think we all kind of said afterwards, like it's kind of like kind of different, when it ends all of a sudden at the end. So we did like a little secret, like class wave that I made up. So like we had a true ending to our meeting. Like I taught him a little goodbye and we all did it at the same time. And then I ended the meeting. So that felt like a little more natural than just like hitting end meeting. So that was kind of fun. Mm. We'll probably do a different one each week, a different kind of goodbye.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
And I like the way that our district chose to use Zoom as a way to just connect for social emotional needs. There's no expectation of teaching within it. There's no, rules around that other than you just need to use it as a way for kids to connect with the teacher and connect with each other. One thing that I did that, like Mike, you were talking about teaching the kids how to use Zoom. One thing I would recommend, and this would go for Zoom or Google Classroom, is to take a screenshot.
Google Hangouts, Zoom. Right? You mean Google Hangouts?
What did I say?
Google Classroom. I just
Sorry.
I know what you meant.
Yeah, that's right. So Google Classroom or Zoom or whatever platform you're using, take a screenshot of the environment, like what they're going to see. Then when you share your screen, you can share that screenshot and take them on a tour. Because the kids are not going to see your tools when you're trying to explain how to use the platform. And that's really important when you get started. Another thing I'm going to try, and this would be with Zoom, is breakouts, where you could do little breakout rooms. I don't know if you guys have ever tried these, but you could basically choose.
I've seen it, but I haven't tried it.
So I did it for the first time yesterday, and you basically just choose a group. And then you assign them a breakout room, and then they use these breakout rooms. And then when you're done, you send a little message, say, okay, time to come back. And they get a little countdown that says like, you're going to go back to the general, to the general meeting area in 50 seconds. And then they can tap to join right back with everybody, or they can stay in these little breakout groups. But like what you were saying, Mike, where you let them all just talk at the end, I think that if you use those breakout groups as a way to just put them into a group of three kids or four kids where they could stay unmuted, they could just talk to one another, have a little more of a conversation where it's not like, wow, I'm talking to the entire class. You know, we had our principal in the meeting. You know, it was a little overwhelming for some of them. Maybe those breakout rooms would help with that.
What does that look like on your end as the like host of that meeting? I've never tried it, but I've seen it.
Yeah, so as the host, you basically just see whoever's left in your meeting. So let's say I had 10 people and I said, these two are with me, and I made like, you know, two more different breakout groups. I don't know what's going on in their groups. And that would be one concern, I guess, I'd have to think through is, do you need more adults to be in your Zoom
one
meeting?
In each meeting,
yeah. Because that way, it's a good idea, though.
I was just talking about these yesterday with my wife because one of the organizations she's involved in, they did their last meeting via Zoom and they had to break out into their like committees. And that's how they did it, was through these breakout rooms. And she's like, it was really awesome because we just kind of like, it was all I saw was the people in my committee on my thing. And then I like the timer went down and then it kicked us all back into the big meeting again. But yeah, I think that's the issue is probably not so much with second grade, although you'd want to have an adult there no matter what, but having enough adults for all your breakout sessions or whatever, which I think would be easy because we've got more than enough adults that want to be involved in our meetings in our building.
Right.
So that's no problem at all. I think it's a cool idea though.
Cool way, like you said, for those who feel really shy, like to have the opportunity maybe to speak in a smaller group.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, that is a great way to also involve your special teachers, your OT teachers, your TCs, all that, you know, principal.
Literacy you know, coaches.
Some people are just really, they want that connection, but they wonder how they can help. And, you know, like when you have somebody join your meeting, like I had a couple extra adults in my meeting. I wasn't quite sure how to include them. I didn't want to put them on the spot. They don't know my kids as well as I do. So that would be a great way to just say, hey, you guys are going to be co-hosting my meeting with me. Would you mind if I did a breakout? I'll give you a question that you guys can discuss. And then we'll do a 2-minute breakout and come back. I think that would be awesome.
Right. I think even if it's like a teacher, like a specialist who works with kids, you know, you could put those kids in a group so they can see their other teacher for a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I love that idea. All right. Well, cool. Well, that was the questions that we had. And, you know, I just got to say that I'm, like you said, Marie, I'm proud of our team. I'm proud of the things that we've been doing. But you know what? We're proud of all the teachers out there who have really stepped up at a time where parents and kids needed us to step up. We all have stuff going on. I know the three of us have talked about the emotional roller coaster of this. It's not like we've all just been rainbows and giggles this entire time.
It's been tough.
Yeah.
No, but we hope everybody is, you know, doing things to take care of themselves. And it is. It's very, very ups and down, good and bad days. And I think embracing that and you know, talking to people and thinking through those emotions is important.
Well, we definitely have all of our listeners on our minds and hope you're doing well. Whatever podcast platform you listen to us on, if you would take the time to just leave us a review, we really appreciate it. We don't make any money from this, but we do want the podcast to affect as many teachers as it can. And when you leave comments or reviews, it helps us be found by more teachers. So we really appreciate that. You can also connect to us on Facebook. Just search for Teachers Talking Tech. And then we have a YouTube channel, Teachers Talking Tech. Oh, and on Twitter at
Teach Some Tech.
There you go, Mike.
Nailed it.
You nailed it. All right,
y'all. I remembered.
Well, thanks for joining us today. And we will see you next time. All right, this has been Teachers Talking Tech with Eric Robinson.
I'm Mike Brown.
And Marie Larson.
All right, see ya.